Joseph Lindsley standing by in Kyiv today. And Joe, after your very kind of troubling and somber report yesterday, we had a number of emails and texts. Let me just share some of them with you. Good morning, Bob and crew. Good God, how can we allow these things to happen in Ukraine? Thank you, Bob and WGN, for supporting Joseph. Please, please don't lose your enthusiasm for Joe Lindsley and his tireless daily reports. I'm wondering, why don't you mention the Ukrainian Freedom News website to your listeners anymore? Huge thank you and hugs to you and Joseph. And finally, this one. Bob, the suspicious communication connection with Joseph makes me think there could be an FSB file on you as the descendant and proponent of Ukrainian rebels. My advice is never go to Russia or any countries controlled or affiliated with Russia. I do not want to see you in one of those glass boxes in Russian courts. I got to be careful.
Yeah, that's good advice. But there's not much to see there anyway. And come to Ukraine.
Yeah, let me mention, by the way, that we do have the link to Ukrainian Freedom News on our website at WGNradio.com.
And by the way, we are preparing a new website, but it is very delayed because our web team is here in Ukraine, and very often they don't have power. And so it's been difficult to get the new site launched. But I'll let you know when we are there. Mm-hmm. And don't go to Russia. But you know, Ukraine, even in the war, as we've talked about so often, is a lovely place. And I took the train yesterday evening, the express intercity train from Lviv to Kyiv. It's a great train. I mean, you have actually nice meals there. You can have a beer as you're driving through the rolling through the countryside. It takes about 6 hours to get to Kyiv, and I arrived here late last night. And you know, this is a city wounded, especially from what happened on Monday. But I mean, still, it's full of life and energy, and you know, everyone's talking about where they were, what they went through on Monday, which was one of the most horrific days that the city has seen. But still, it's a lovely place. And and this morning, I was taking a run through the city, through this park that I started at one of the ancient churches, Saint Sophia, one of the oldest churches in Europe. And from there, I ran down to a park on a bluff overlooking the Dnipro River, the Church of St. Michael. And there's a beautiful park there. And it's you see the city in its summer glory. And as I was running, I passed, there was a Catholic church and the doors were open. And I heard this chanting. So I stopped in there, and it was about 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock this morning. And the congregation and the priests were chanting in Ukrainian the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. And as you travel, as you go through the city of Kyiv, everywhere you see the government of Klitschko, who's the mayor, everywhere they have banners saying that Archangel Michael is the patron saint and official symbol of Kyiv. And that's something they feel. I mean, that's been part of the history of the city going back 1,000 years when the Mongols were burning Kyiv. They had this great attachment to St. Michael as the fight of good versus evil. But they especially feel that these days. And I think of we have more and more stories about what happened on Monday, and there were 6 doctors who were killed, 5 of them women, female doctors who were killed in those Russian strikes on Kyiv, including on that hospital on Monday. The Russians also caused significant problems to what they've been doing for a long time, but the power infrastructure of Kyiv is even worse now. And imagine if you're living, these are very hot days, like today's 91 degrees. Imagine you live in a 10, 15 story apartment building, whether it's modern or from Soviet era. If the power's out, you got to walk. If you're going home, you got to walk up all those flights. That's a daily reality for almost everyone here in Kyiv City. And meanwhile, something I didn't mention a few days ago, but a few hours after that horrific attack upon Kyiv and Dnipro and other cities around Ukraine on Monday, the Prime Minister of India was in Moscow, Prime Minister Modi of India, embracing Putin in a hug. This is a pretty jarring image to sort of be ignoring what had just happened here in Kyiv. And meanwhile, we have very disturbing news that this has been very public, but that the Chinese military is participating in war games in Belarus, very close to the Polish border. Belarus, of course, is to the north of Ukraine, and the Russians have used Belarus to attack. They've attacked Ukraine from Belarus. And so now the Chinese military is performing military exercises just a few miles from the border of European Union, Poland, and NATO.
Joseph, I heard National Security Coordinator John Kirby yesterday say that this war in Ukraine is going to end with some sort of negotiation. That's how it'll finally end, and that's going to be up to President Zelensky. And so far, he has held steadfast to not wanting to give back any of the territory Russia has now claimed. That's the big sticking point, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think first, you know, anyone who says that it's up to President Zelensky fundamentally does not understand Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine is extremely democratic. That's why they had the Orange Revolution in 2004, and then especially the Maidan Revolution in 2014. And the Maidan is that the main public square through which I ran today of Kyiv. And there's always, because of what Ukrainians have done, they've kicked out corrupt regimes in the past. And there's always a threat to anyone in power that the people will take to the Maidan, even in the wartime. And it's the people of Ukraine that don't want to surrender. There was a moment in 2022, maybe 2 months into the full-scale invasion, when President Zelensky put out the idea as a suggestion that maybe there could be, you know, maybe we could deal with Crimea, the Crimea question later. And Ukrainians, they started on social media saying no. And so the president had to respond to, you know, he represents the people. And that's something that if you know anything about Ukraine, you would know that it's the people who refuse to negotiate. And I think part of that is because they realized from 2014 to 2022, after Russia took Crimea and after Russian-backed separatists took places in Donbass, there were tons of negotiations. They had the famous Minsk Accords in which Germany, France, and the United States were involved. And there were 8 years of negotiating. And what that did is it gave all the while Russia was preparing for what it's doing now. And so there's not really an appetite for that. And there's understanding that, you know, if you negotiate, you're simply giving Russia time to prepare for continued takeover of Ukraine. And we've seen so far two different messages coming out of the United States during the NATO summit. You have what John Kirby, Pentagon spokesman, Bob, you know, the comment you just mentioned. But he also said he was asked once again by a reporter if, will the White House give Ukraine permission to hit Russian bases on Russian soil from which they attack Ukraine? And he said, no, we don't want to use that word escalation. We don't want to escalate this. We don't want World War III. So that's what John Kirby says. But at the same time, Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, who spent a lot of time here in Ukraine, he said that F-16s are on the way to Ukraine, that they will be here this summer. A lot of people suspect that he would not have said that if they were not already here. And so maybe at last there are F-16s here. It's probably there has to be a lot of strategic ambiguity here so that they are not targeted by the Russians, but that is giving people some hope. So there's two messages coming out of Washington. Still, Ukraine cannot use American tools to hit Russian bases, but maybe some of America's best equipment, those F-16 jets, might be here or might be here soon.
Strategic ambiguity is right. Joseph Lindsley in Kyiv today. Thanks, Joseph. Very interesting, as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.